is Kevin.
Harry, you didn't fix the light. Harry's not here. Watch Harry, he'll go on a trip. Harry, you didn't fix the light.
Can't get it to work.
The new bulb's supposed to last 5 years. Won't work.
I broke it. I was trying to save a piece of paper, so as it was going through, I pulled it out from the backside in the middle of its process. I saved a piece of paper.
I
wrecked the printer somehow. I can't get it to crank up, so I got to buy another one.
As Gary used to say, I can't see it from my house.
I have an idea what a good printer is, a good cheap printer.
Laser printer?
Are they the best?
Get a Cadillac.
Doesn't have to be. I've been using the ink dot stuff.
Well, Kevin's taking Georgiana's place.
So he's not really Kevin today?
Kevin,
you're not supposed to talk to Kevin.
Does that mean that person in that seat, does that mean Kevin's going to make fun of me today?
Well, more than today, he might disrespect you.
It's highly likely.
He might.
I'm still concerned about Harry and not fixing that light.
A wrench would be decimated. What's that old kid's thing? It takes one to know one?
I don't know. I don't know about that kind of stuff.
That's how it goes.
Liar, liar, pants on fire.
I know you are, so what am I?
I have no, what is he talking about now? You know?
You're making fun of me for paying attention to that when that's exactly what you would be doing were I not. It takes one to know.
Yes. Yes, thank you, Harry.
Everybody knows it.
Thank you.
Let's go to Revelation 12.
Let's get right into it. Let's start this way.
I didn't turn right to it.
It's a sign.
One of the questions that when I figured out that this thing about that all of the major events in Christ's life happened on the Jewish feasts, I can't tell you, it blew my mind. And I thought I was just finding it out and everybody else knew it. And that really shocked me when I started to look into the meanings of how the feasts of Christmas and Easter and all those things started in terms of what the first century church did. For over a hundred years in all of the church, everybody celebrated, everybody that named the name of Christ celebrated all the feasts. And for much longer in the Eastern Church. And so what I was concerned with and what just fascinated me is what was going on in the temple when all of these different feasts of the Lord were taking place, what was going on with Christ, and then what was going on in the temple. And then that blew me away because there's so much incredible revelation in that. And then what further blew me away was the book of Revelation, because I knew it wasn't a prophecy book, it wasn't something that's going to happen. It was the revelation of Jesus Christ throughout all of time and space. And so the question then is, what is going on in the book of Revelation on all these feast days? And it all gelled. It all came together in an incredibly coherent mystery. And of which, it says, this mystery has been hid from all generations, including this one, but is now revealed unto his saints, his people. And so this whole, what we're going to read in Revelation is Revelation's, the book of Revelation, view of at least part of the view of what happened on Passover. And so it's noted. And if you know, the first, we've studied this, but the first few books of Revelation are, you know, just the stated, the seven different types of the church and all their incarnations. But the action of the book of Revelation doesn't start until the fourth chapter. And that's when it starts talking about the horses and, you know, and so we are used to thinking in terms of linear thought. That's how we were taught. That's how we continue to learn, because it's the Western mind. We learn a little bit of this so we can learn a little bit more of that, so we can get over here and we can, and we try to use that same method of thought to understand the Bible, and it can't be done because you'll put your own little interpretations. You'll end up with wall charts that show you how what's going on in history is, and it denies that Jesus said it's finished. And so it's the scriptures say tell us one story over and over and over again in an infinite number of ways. If you've listened to me, for some of you have, for over 30 years, you know I only say one thing. But it's said in a thousand different ways, because that's what the scriptures do. It shows us the revelation of Jesus Christ in every possible concept, whether it's from the standpoint of the meaning of the stars to the meaning of the everything. And so now let's look at Revelation 12. We're just going to start in verse 7. Immediately prior to this, in Jesus' life, he says this incredible thing. He said, I will not speak much with you now, for the prince of this world cometh, and he has no interest in me. Jesus made himself so that the prince of the power of the air had absolutely no interest in him. Right? Because he was of no value to him. Because he denied everything and every value system that everybody has. So it's the biggest cosmic trick in the universe. Now we still think, we still want to make ourselves acceptable to the one who has the right of first redemption, which is the God of this world. And so as long as you, that's why the scriptures are all to the poor, to the empty, to the failures, to the base things of the world, because they are the ones that the prince of the power of this world or air has no interest in, because they are the refuse, the garbage. And so the people of God are always seen as the garbage of the world. Truly. You know, believe it, read what Paul said in 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, and the 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, and throughout everything. We are the garbage. We are that which is not useful for the world for any purpose. Now, until you get that through your head, you'll never understand Passover, because all you're trying to do is to get yourself ungarbage. Try to make yourself valuable. And if you can't make yourself valuable to anybody else, you certainly make yourself valuable to your mind. So you have all these great ideas and great hopes. And so what you're doing in your mind can only do one thing. Your mind can only do one. It can only try to make you acceptable to the one who has the right of first redemption. What?
I'm thinking about the garbage thing. Drive by some of these little mission places downtown, and it's like they are the most unattractive, places where gathering people gathering of God is like I can see there's no the prince of this world would have no interest in that place. It's not a nothing there.
Yeah, he's no interest in us. We're not.
I can feel it because that's how I feel sometimes. I drive by, it's like they're not attractive, and that's the prince of the world trying to operate through me.
This isn't a very. This message will never be popular.
Look around.
Look around, brethren, how that not many wise men, not many noble, not many honorable after the flesh are chosen, but God has chosen the base things of the world and the things which are nothing to bring to naught those things that are, that he might make the wisdom of the world foolishness. And the wisdom of the world is the wisdom of your mind, and it's foolish. It's beyond stupid. Now, the real shock of all this is how could anybody see this? It's been hid. It says it's hid from every generation, from all generations. But we forget this when we start. That's why.
Uh-oh.
1, 2, 3. 4, 5.
Let me just kind of fix things up here.
Pull all the way down. You while you do that.
Just give me a break here. You've got your files too.
But stop and think. Just think about what your mind does for a second. What your mind always does is how to put you in a position of advantage. How did it get you to? What I love what the airy guys do is how to win an argument with Ole in your mind, or how to beat up Ole or something like that. Which you'd do the same to anybody that was saying this to you, because you want to be convinced that your opinions have value. You want to be ascertained that you want self-esteem. Because that's what you're hardwired to get. And no matter how hard you've tried, your self-esteem has always gone to pot. Right?
Right, so to speak.
Well, in Harry's case, literally. How could anybody get hooked on marijuana? We got two guys that were hooked on marijuana in here.
That's good stuff.
I wouldn't mention who they are, but...
They'll squeak. Just wait a minute.
They both just did. That was the goofiest drug that I ever took. Anyway, but it's so critical for you to see, especially at Passover, that your mind is trying to do the same thing that Pharaoh did, and the same thing that. And the reason God didn't send the plagues to destroy, because he was mad at Egypt, he sent the plagues because his people had accepted the gods of Egypt. Now, you at some point, this will be now our 800th Passover or something. I don't know. It's a whole bunch. But there's got to be at some point where you understand that the purpose of the plagues was to put you to cause you to know that your mind was always wrong. Right? So that you have to be with Paul, that I owe my mind nothing. It's never gonna get better, it's not gonna do anything right. I owe it nothing. Okay, so now we have Christ just before his crucifixion. He said, I will not speak much more with you because the prince of the world is coming and he has no interest in me. Now, why would he say that? And where is the prince of the world coming to? Well, let's see. In verse 7 of Revelation 12, there was a war in heaven. Notice it was. There was a was. In eternity, the was is always now. There is a war in heaven right now with regard to you. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was her place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out. Where was he cast out? He was cast out into the earth. Now, we got Christ saying, "The prince, I will not speak much more with you now, because the prince of the world is coming. He has no interest in me. He has nothing in common with me. There's nothing that I have that is desirable to him." And we have here now the war in heaven, and the prince of the world, he couldn't win in heaven, so he's now been cast out into the earth. Now, doesn't that kind of tell you something? Maybe we already know your mind is the instead of Christ, is the Antichrist. We already know the number of your mind is 666. We already know that he has set himself up in you as the temple of the living God, and he shows himself that he's God. Oh, no, that's not what it is. We got to go back to the 70th week of Daniel, and then we got to make some big charts, and there's got to be this week that floated around in heaven for somewhere, and then for some reason it decided to come back now, and it came back now because now the Jews over there, somebody started a nation called Israel. Remember what I told you the Corinthian heresy was? It's the first heresy of the church. It was promulgated by a man named, of course, Corinthus, if we have the Corinthian heresy. And you all know that the Corinthian heresy was that the purpose of Christ's birth, life, suffering, death, and resurrection was so that you could be rich and healthy. But it had another component to it. The Corinthian heresy had an equally evil component to it. And that was that Christ was going to return to earth for 1,000 years and set up his kingdom in Jerusalem. The prosperity gospel and the idea of rapture crap, they were all part of the original Corinthian heresy. And if you don't believe me, go read I'll give you the reference in Eusebius' church history. Now, isn't that all we hear about Christianity now? Either you're going to be healthy and wealthy, and then God is coming, and he's going to take you off and somewhere, and then you're going to go up, and you're going to be a yo-yo for a while. You're going to stay up there for a while, and then you can go back down here because somebody's got to go build a temple and blah, 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 blah. Comic book, Da Vinci Code, crap theology. But the problem is, I don't care what their theology, I care what yours is. Now the prince of the world was cast out into the earth. Now listen what happens next. And which deceiveth the whole world. In other words, there's no part of the world that he didn't.
Excuse me, something just dawned on me. What's wrong with that theology is that in every scenario, I continue to be.
Of course.
And that's a real problem because
the scenario
is ain't working.
Yeah, but the point of the scenario always has that time is necessary. So if you believe that God acted differently with back in the Old Testament than he does in the New Testament, then you're saying time is necessary. If you believe that there is a old covenant and then God dealt, that was a mean old God that killed people, but now there's the new covenant and God... I'm going to kill Becky, by the way. Another one got by
me. But I just realized for the first time, I can't believe I just said this to myself, that I must decrease. I need to, this thing I needs to
go away.
Go away.
It's because it's a lie.
I never really knew that until just now.
I could tell.
I really need to go away.
Remember, Christ didn't start his ministry until John the Baptist's head was cut off.
I was thinking too, this, the idea of Satan being cast into the earth. Well, they don't share the household.
All right, let's watch and see what happens next. And his angels, his messengers, were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, and again, this is happening on Passover. Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And where is he cast down? Who's the biggest accuser in your life? It isn't me. It isn't Satan. The biggest accuser of your life is the instead of Christ, your mind. No matter who you are, no matter what your philosophy, no matter what you think you are, whether you're an atheist or a Hindu, or I don't care what you are, your mind is your constant accuser. He accused, which accused him before our, now he, before Pentecost, if you believe this parable, before Passover, he was accusing the Father. Now he's lost his power. He can't accuse the Father anymore because Christ, but now he accuses you. So your mind is a constant accuser. It never stops. And you not only does it accuse, your mind is the judge, the jury, the prosecuting attorney, the executioner, and because you accuse yourself, and blame yourself, then you have to judge others because you can't stand it if there's somebody, and so you gotta blame somebody.
Yeah, and you also think they're accusing you. It's like this accusing thing just prevails.
All right, now listen. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. The word testimony is in the Greek word martyr. It's your death is how you overcome him, no other way. And they love not their lives even unto death. And it's your acceptance of your death. You've invented yourself anyway. You got to know that. You're a made-up creature. You're an accident of an accident with a bunch of makeup on. And you've invented this being, this beast. And it's got your name on it. You run around trying to be somebody. Oh, you're always alone. And I would have been somebody if mommy hadn't hurt me and daddy hadn't yelled at me. And blah, 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 blah. And I got to go take some drugs and smoke some pot so I can stand myself so it shuts up the accuser for a while. And then, boy, the problem with that stuff is it shuts up the accuser for an instant, but then he comes back a thousandfold and you have paranoia personified. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Something happened here. But is that exactly clear?
One of those stupid songs that you get your theology from came from the drug culture. Can you see the silliness of your battle? Your warfare is over. It's done. You accept your death. You know you're part of the dump heap of this earth. That's the only way God can use you. Oh, no, I'm a champion. Well, then you're making yourself acceptable to the one who has the right of first redemption, and it isn't Christ. The one who has the right of first redemption is the God of this world. If you don't believe it, you haven't read the scriptures. Now, this is all, well, everything I just said took place on Passover. Oh, but I'm going to protect the right to myself. And I'm going to make sure. And so that's what you've done your whole life. You little kid in kindergarten. And, those are the cool guys over there. And they're just dumb, though. And I'm special. So you create this stupid reality of yourself in your mind because these people over there were picking on you. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Then you find other nerds to go hang out with, and then you can corporately talk about those other guys that pick on you. Anybody bring back any memories? Except Harry believes I was the one that he was picking on him.
He's been an ass like you my entire life.
You got to come down. You got to stop these stupid little games. You accept your death. You've overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony. You love not your life even unto death. Don't play the game anymore. But if you hold your nose right and you learn how to pray and then you do this and then you get charismania and then you can scream and yell and then you can see gold dust and then you'll be okay. And then if you go around and redeem the land, we'll have a Jericho march around this block and we will claim the blood of Christ on every inch of this, and then you're still an idiot. What are you laughing at? You must have touched a button.
Just the idea of a bunch of people walking around the block.
Well, that's what they do, and that's what a whole bunch of these ministries are doing.
And everybody flees in fear of these nuts when they say God.
Who
buy my book, and I'll teach you how to get a house on the upwind side of the dome.
Please, it's so simple. You're dead. He lives.
And you can't say, but I accepted my death several years ago. No.
You can't even say you can't even say what you just did.
You can't say that.
No, because then you've put you as the subject of your sentence.
Yeah, because you raise your own self back up. Thinking that you've accepted the whole thing.
Let's think about your language. Even the language raises you from the dead.
I probably should just shut up.
You probably should. Let there be silence in the temple for the space of a half hour.
All right, take a big guy.
You get free brickbats, the whole thing. Any thoughts on all this?
One question I was going to ask you.
You can't ask me a question privately.
Huh?
I won't answer any questions privately.
Okay.
This because it's.
Of course, yeah. Mental note that I took, but I wanted to ask you about was when you said, I forget when you were in reference to the prophecy charts and tribulation charts and whatnot. You know, that show what's in terms of linear time, what's going to happen when, and what's not, what already did happen and all that. And you said that contradicts what Christ said.
He said it's finished.
Right. I was going to ask you that. And when it comes to...
I understand your question. Let me answer one at a time. We've been in the night of the last day. The last Jewish days start at sunset. On the cross, the sunset, when Jesus died. The earth was darkened. That's been the night of the last day. We are still... The night is the beginning of the day in Hebrew. So we are still in the night of that day. And soon the day will dawn, and the day star will arise in our hearts, and it'll be the beginning of the new day, which there is no time, because it's the day that is no longer called today. See, in English is the worst language in the universe to understand this, because we think forever, the gift of God is eternal life. That means I'm going to live a long, long time. No. The word eternal means, it's ha'olam in the Hebrew, it means no time at all. So we are the fact that we live as if there is no time at all means that we have redeemed the time, for the days are evil. So everything ended. Everything, all the 70 weeks, all the prophecies, all the law, all, everything ended at Christ. He fulfilled everything. And that's what everybody believed. That's what John believed, and Paul, and all the disciples, all the writers of the New Testament. They thought that they were in the night of that last day that would happen with the next breath. But we've invented these stupid charts because we've got new revelation.
You know, the tribulation charts.
Well, those are just the tribulation is your life. Again, here. This, the Lord is my shepherd; I shall not want. I never need more than I have. I never want anything to be different than it is. The Lord is my shepherd; I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, which is the idyllic for the sheep. He leadeth me beside the still waters, of the waters of quietness, so my soul is always at rest. And when I screw up, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness. The only path of righteousness is the life of Christ. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that's all of time and space, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, thy exhortation and affliction, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me, even in the very presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The fullness of the gospel is in the 23rd Psalm. Think about it. Anybody see anything? Everybody must agree. Take a big guy.